I don't know what your church history is, but if you have much church history, you know too many times church does a lot of things that really no one explains. And sometimes you walk out and you're saying, what did we just do? And why did we just do that? So just for the sake of time, I'm not going to get to do a full-length explanation of the Lord's Supper. This is the first time ever we've tagged it on to this end of the service like this, because I always speak to the whole issue during the service. But we're just doing it different today because it's Christmas. And what you have in your program is a full outline that in the days ahead, I will expound each topic every time we have the Lord's Supper. But today is just a real, real quick survey. And depending on what your background is, you may come to this with a totally different approach than we're doing today. That's why I'm going to take some time to explain it, because oftentimes it's just tagged on and no one really understands what did we do and why did we do it, and no one goes through the trouble. So I'm going to just share quickly before we share the Lord's Supper. Paul is writing in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. He's already started in chapter 10 dealing with the issue of the Lord's Supper, because he's dealing with the issue of them eating food that's been offered to idols, and he brings that in with the Lord's Supper cup, taking of the blood of Christ in chapter 10. But then we're going to move down to verse 11 real quick, chapter 11, verse 17, because this is what he says. Now in this I declare unto you that I praise you not that you come together not for better but for the worse. He's reprimanding them, not about the tongues that have been happening and several things, but he's talking specifically about the Lord's Supper because of how it had gotten out of hand and what was going on wrong. So from this verse 17 all the way down through verse 32 of the rest of this chapter, that's what he deals with. I'm just going to read a few of the highlight verses for some comments. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there were divisions among you, and I partly believe it. They were fussing among themselves, and he said, I understand that. I believe that that's going on. For there must also be heresies among you, that those who are approved may be made manifest among you. That's okay for some division to be there, because in that division, the truth gets out, and so the heresies are pushed out, and people understand it. So he said, there's nothing wrong as you do that, you know, in a civil way. But he said, when you therefore come together in one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. And he's going about to explain it. For in the eating, everyone taketh his own supper ahead of another, and one is hungry and another is drunken. Now, if you remember any history about, they used to have the supper, a meal, before the Lord's Supper. Kind of like what you had back there. Even though we didn't all sit down together, that's what that was, eh? And what would happen was, because they didn't have a seven-day cycle in the Greco-Roman world at that time, and everything didn't shut down on Sunday. So if the Christians are going to meet on a Sunday, they would either have to meet early in the morning or a lot of times late at night, because unless you owned your own business, and many of them were slaves, you had to meet after that part was done. So what was going on was, some of them would start early in the morning that have that privilege, and they would kind of be there all day and eat everything that they brought. And then some of the slaves who only maybe had some dry, crusty bread that they could bring at night. And by the way, all of you that called the night meal dinner, theologically, you're wrong. It says supper. What does that mean? The night meal, all right? That's what that means. And some of y'all laugh at us because we say supper is a night meal. Theologically, that's correct, all right? But what would happen was, someone would get there, all the food would be eating, then some of the poor people would get there at the end, so you have what? An economic division where some people are, well, we're better than the rest of them. And it was a division in the church, and he said, the Lord's Supper is supposed to be a unifying thing. It's supposed to be a fellowship of everybody understanding that no one here is better than anybody else. And that's exactly what he's speaking to when he deals with that. Number one, as you see in your handout, the Lord's Supper symbolizes our unity, the fellowship. Remember, we'll go back in chapter 10 where he's talking about how there's one body and how the church shares its bread. And what is that? Not everybody eats the same piece of bread, but it's the fellowship of that. So that idea is what is carried over. So when we come here, it's supposed to remind us, if we're believers, we're one together. And when I do something wrong or you do something wrong, guess what? Who affects? Everybody. And that's what it is. This is a memorial to remind us of these things. And he said, that's what it is about our unity. Number two, it reminds us that he said, what? When you take of this, you remember my death. You know, that's what it's about. It's not a social event. It's not a time to come and, you know, fill up your stomach. Because what did he say? Somebody been drinking already all the morning and you're drunk because they didn't have a diluted wine, some of them. And then some of them would eat all the food, so some of the people were left out. There was no unity. He said, that's not what it's about. It's about a fellowship coming together to remember the central thing is Jesus died for us. That's it. And that's what he says. Number three, he says what? What did he say? He said, it is a what? A picture, an explanation of the new covenant. What he said in those verses? What is that? That covenant that God made with us? That he's never going to leave us or never going to forsake us. It's that seal. This reminds us that Jesus made a covenant with us, and he's going to hold to it. A covenant was a contract. He goes on to explain it. He says what? It should remind us to be evangelistic. What did he say? As you proclaim, that's what the verse says. We read it a moment ago. As you proclaim my death. What is that? That very word that we get from that is proclamation. You know what they're supposed to remind us? You might be sitting here and you wouldn't care less about who God is or what Jesus did. And you come in here and you walk in here and says, what is all this about? It's about you're a sinner and I'm a sinner. And Jesus died on the cross to pay the price for our sin. And this is to remind us of that. And if you're sitting here and you don't know what that is, you know, he said, this is a picture to remind anyone. It's all about Jesus did something for us. So every time we do it, it proclaims that Jesus died on the cross. That's what it's about. It's just not a tag on. There's a lot that goes on with this that sometimes we overlook. It is also a temporary rite of anticipation. What does that mean? There are a few in my family who get just as much joy out of planning a trip as going on the trip. Not me. All I want to know is when we leave, when we're getting back. I don't care a thing about planning. I don't get any joy in that. But this is about, he says, until I come. Guess what? Once Jesus comes back and we leave with him, there's no more Lord's Suppers. That is over with. That's done with. So it's anticipation that, you know, once this, after that marriage supper of the Lamb, that is it. That part of it is done. And we're looking forward to it. And we're thinking about, you know, that one day, you know, the Jews that were exercising the Passover after they were kicked out of the promised land and they were in those pagan lands, every time at the Passover, they would always say, this until we're in Jerusalem again. You know, looking forward to that day when this thing is fixed and we're there. You know what that does for us? It leaves us from being consumed by what the world has to offer us. That we don't get caught up in everything. Why? Because our anticipation is that one day he's going to come back. That's it. And that is what it's for. It provides an opportunity for self-examination. What did he say in those same verses? Let everyone examine yourself, us. What? That we take it properly. You say, what in the world does that mean? In a nutshell, it means this. If you and I are committed to Christ, when we come and take the Lord's Supper, it's to remind us that he died for us. And if we're committed to him, our daily lives should not be about nurturing our own sins. That's what it's about. It's supposed to remind us that how can I say that Jesus died for me when I already have a plan that when I leave here today, I'm going to go and get involved in sin again. He says, that's what it's for. He says, we need to be careful if we take it that lightly because it's supposed to remind us of what our life is supposed to be about. And what are we doing about that? With his help. Why? Because of this. It reminds of a covetous judgment. What did he say? Because, in those same verses, some of you took it so lightly, some of you are physically sick, and some have already died. You said, well, God doesn't kill anybody. Go back and read the Old Testament. God didn't play. He's serious about this thing. You know, we can cross that line when he'll say, I'm done. And he says, this is what it is. Because in those last verses, he says, what? Because judgment is going to come upon the world. And I want you to make sure that your life and what you're committed to doesn't put you in that category over there in the world because the world is going to be judged. Either Christ judges you now and you commit your life to him, or you're judged in the end. That's just it. Because God doesn't play with that. Sin costs a serious price, and he says, this is a covenant. God said, this is going to happen. And it should remind us that we're examining our lives, because when all this thing is over, we want to be where we should be. No, we want to be in the right place. And he said, remember what it says? It actually said, and some have already died. You know, I don't know what your time is, but God already knows every one of our lives, and he already knows if you're at the place right now in your life where he knows you're never going to trust him, he might just say, you know, I'm done with him. And it says that we can get to a point in our life where God says, okay, you're on your own. He does it in Romans chapter 1. He says, all right, and God gave them over. That's actually what that means. He said, all right, you're on your own. And when that happens, God's grace that kind of protects us a lot of times, it's gone. So you don't know what's going to happen from then on. All of that, you said, all that's in the Lord's Supper. All that's in the Lord's Supper. So when you walk out of here today, I don't want you to say, wonder what that was about. It was about me and my sin and what God did through the person of Jesus. So that I could not only have peace in the days ahead when eternity's coming, but I can have it right now and tomorrow, regardless of what happens in my life. That's what this reminds us about. He's serious. What does he say? For I have received of the Lord, Paul said, that also which I delivered unto you, that the Lord, that same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Guys, y'all come on to the front. Again, I want to remind you, if you're not a bona fide member of this church, if you are a believer, and I honestly want you to be serious with that, because this is exactly what we're talking about. People who are non-believers very nonchalantly taking this, it can bring reproach on you. So be careful with that for your own sake. But as we partake of this, you're invited, regardless if you're a bona fide member or not. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you loved us enough to have a plan to restore us to yourself, even before any in this room were ever born. And Lord, that you would have to satisfy yourself through your own offering in the person of Jesus. And Lord, as we share this, that you would arrest our attention, every one of us in our lives, for us to examine what's going on and what do we need to do and how you can help us and what we need with some other people to counsel us along so that we can be where you'd like for us to be. Father, bless this time for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. He said, take ye and eat. And likewise, after he had blessed it, he said, this is my blood. We do not believe it becomes his blood all over again, but it is a memorial to remind us that his blood was shed to pay the price for our sin. In the same manner, he said, take ye and drink. This is my blood. As we leave this morning, I hope that we will think through, take that program and just look through it and to see if Christ is something that you've made a commitment to. How are we doing at following in our lifestyle to that? All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your concern about us, that you would provide the sacrifice that only you would accept, and that is yourself. Remind us this season all that you've done for us, and how out of our gratitude that we can live our lives with your help. Bless all that we do for your glory's name's sake. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all have a Merry Christmas. Good to have you with us today.